Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading today comes from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 8. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Catechetical review, the creed, the first article, creation. Please read with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides with me all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. The epistle today comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as we sing together the gospel. Alleluia. Holy Gospel for the first Sunday in Advent from Matthew chapter 21. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him in were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to join me, but this morning we will be right over there by the piano. Yeah, let's just stay right here for now. Good morning. Great to see you guys this morning. A couple of weeks ago when we were here, I brought you some different letters. Do you remember these letters? Yeah, this one is an A in our alphabet. It's also the alpha in the Greek alphabet. And this one, do you remember this one? This is the omega. That's the end of the Greek alphabet. So we're learning some different letters. This one right here, this is two letters in the Greek alphabet. Do you see the one in the middle that looks like the P? That's actually called the chi. And then what other letter do you see? Not only the P, there's another letter there. You see the X, right? And that's actually, well, this is the chi and this is the rho. So together, these two symbols make the CH sound. So k. Now, when we think about this time of the year, what kind of sounds do we make that start with k? What is that right behind us here?
A Christmas tree.
Does Christmas start with CH? Yeah. Does it start with the k sound?
Yeah.
It does, and that's what this symbol reminds us of, that this season that we're in when we have the trees here, this is Christmas. And do you know what the most important thing about Christmas is? What is it?
It's about Halloween.
That's past a little bit. What's the most important thing about Christmas?
You put something on it.
You put something on the tree? Yeah, we do that too. The most important thing about Christmas?
Jesus is born.
Right. The most important thing about Christmas is Christ. Do you hear it in there too? The chi and the rho, Christmas. And that's why we have this ornament that we put on the tree. It reminds us that everything we do in the season of Christmas, when we decorate the trees and we put the presents all at the bottom and we open them when we do, it's all about who? It's all about Jesus. It's all about our Christ who comes to us as God promised to forgive us of all of our sins. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to us. Thank you for keeping your promise, forgiving our sins, and giving us hope. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, would one of you like to hang this on the Christmas tree? Hannah, would you hang that right there on the Christmas tree? And we continue with our next hymn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you on this day that we are reminded that you will come again in power and great glory. We pray, dear Father, that you would continue to give us peace and hope that we might prepare for your coming with peace and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. The text for this morning is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, backing up a little bit from what we heard this morning. St. Paul writes this, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves one another will fulfill the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in these words. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, dear friends, have you noticed how this time of the year it is so much easier for us to love our neighbor? You're in the grocery store. You haven't got much time. You're going down the aisles, grabbing everything you need. You're on your way out of the store to the car, and you hear that stranger ringing that bell by that red kettle. You stop. You dig the change out of your pocket, maybe put a dollar or two in this red kettle to help someone that you will never meet and that you don't know. The cashier asks you as you're checking out, would you like to round up to the next dollar amount and give your money to this charity? And we agree. We put up a Christmas tree at the entrance of the church right there across from my office with a name, a boy or a girl, and an age range. And you take those down and you bring those presents back for a child from our community that you will probably never meet. Retailers know that you're more generous now during this time of the year. Nonprofits, they know the same thing. Charities know that you donate more during Christmas, and you yourself know that you are a little more generous this time of the year. Why is that? Do Christmas lights and Christmas music really have that much of an effect on us? Or is there something more? One of the reasons that we are more generous this time of the year is because we're reminded that there is a need. We're reminded that there are families that might not have enough to give a gift to their kids. We're reminded when someone asks for a few pennies from your check that there are others who are struggling this time of the year. We're pulled out of our self-centeredness, out of our selfishness, and we're a little more apt to love our neighbor and to help them and to give. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent is not the tailgate party for Christmas. It's not the time to get ready to do Christmas well. Advent is a reminder that we need a Savior. Advent reminds us of our complete brokenness, our complete selfishness, and our complete inability to love our neighbor as God has asked us to do. And Advent is a complete gospel promise that when Jesus comes to us in his word or water or the very body and blood of Jesus himself to us, he comes to us to give us his gifts. He brings forgiveness for all. Advent is to prepare us for that last day when Jesus stands again upon the earth, and when he looks you in the eye, you see him as your Savior and not your judge. In the epistle reading for this morning, St. Paul distills down Advent to this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. How many of you already have your holiday decorating done? Well, you're in the same category that I am, not very much. I would guess that many of you are probably already on the way to getting all of your Christmas shopping done, getting those gifts sent, doing all those things to prepare for Christmas. But being prepared for the advent of our Savior isn't based on having your Christmas lights up. It isn't based on having your Christmas letter written. Being prepared for the advent of our King is not meaning that you have to pass along that social media post that says, if you love Jesus, do this. You see, our Lord won't judge us because our lights aren't up and our letter isn't written and our house isn't decorated. Being ready for Advent means this, that we want to be in his word. That we want his gifts to be a part of our everyday lives. We want to be in worship. We want to receive the forgiveness of sins and the promise that when we receive the bread and wine, that is Jesus again coming to us to strengthen us, to encourage us, and most importantly, to forgive us. Being ready to meet your King means this, that I have examined my life, my thoughts, my words, my deeds, and I have been found wanting. We confess our sins. We are reminded in Advent and every time we come before our Savior and our sins convict us. We need a Savior. We beg for mercy for the blood of Jesus to cover us, to forgive us, and He does. And being prepared for the coming of the King means that I live confidently in the mercy that flows from the cross of Christ, that covers all my sins and reminds me that I am His child and He is with me always, just as He promises. The very reason we constantly need to prepare for the coming of our Savior is because what resides here in the heart, whatever it is that resides here, sin and death and evil, still even as a child of God, that's what keeps me from wanting to love my neighbor. If the most important thing about Christmas, as we get ready to prepare this holiday celebration, is that we are the center of the holiday, that the gift that I give or the gift that I receive is the most important or the most talked about, you're not really prepared for the coming of your King. You're still serving your own ego and being at the center of your own universe. If we continue to gossip and tear down our neighbors and tear down our rulers with no regard for the fifth and the eighth commandment, repent. You're on dangerous ground to meet your Savior. In the heart are all of these things that continue to drive us away from our Savior, continue to help us to think that we can be sufficient on our own. Paul talks about it in the epistle reading for today. If we continue to live our life in a way that we let adultery and lust and pornography go unchecked, we are not preparing for the King. We are simply living the life of selfishness and not loving our neighbor. If you've been here on a colder winter day, a day when it's too cold for the ECC kids downstairs to go outside, you'll notice that when they come upstairs to play, they go back in the fellowship hall. And something new has happened now that our kids come in. When they go in to the fellowship hall, they used to walk by my office. They used to look in and they used to wave and say, "Hi, Pastor." But now that Christmas tree is set up right there, there's something really interesting that happens. When the kids walk down that hallway to go to the fellowship hall, they're not looking in my office. They don't even know I'm there. They are so enthralled with the gifts under that tree. They're standing there. They're looking at all of them. They know which ones are new on what day. They are so captivated by the gifts of the tree that the teacher has to come and take them by the hand and bring them to recess and pull them away from the gifts. If there is any way, any image to prepare us for the advent of our King, that's it. That as we prepare for the coming of our King, just like those kids that are captivated by those gifts, we should be running to where our Savior gives us His gifts. Running to His Word, where He makes those promises to us day in and day out that we are His, that we are forgiven, and that He will never leave us or forsake us. Running to His Word preached into our ears that shows us, warns us of all the selfishness that would pull us from loving our neighbor, and then reminds us overwhelmingly again and again that our Savior has come the first time, and His blood is shed upon us for the forgiveness of our sins. Preparing for Advent means that we run to where Jesus is. We prepare our hearts and our minds, and Jesus meets us here with His very body and blood for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what it means to be ready for the coming of our Savior. We're focused on Jesus and His gifts freely given to us. We are so focused on the gifts of complete forgiveness through the cross and the empty tomb that our focus changes. Now it's not about me at the center of my universe, but it's about Christ and the gifts that He gives me that allows me to see my neighbor all over and to help them and to be generous and to love my neighbor. We strive to be better husbands and wives. We listen more and condemn less. We trust in the promises that God has given to us. Fear not, for I am with you. I have called you by name. We're forgiven. We forgive as we've been forgiven, and we love as we have been loved. Being prepared for Advent, the coming of our King, means that we're not like the Pharisees, whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. But we're made new right there in the waters of holy baptism. Made new to pull us out of our selfishness and look around others to see where we can let the love of Christ shine in their world. When the whole world goes crazy over this little virus, we stand confident knowing that we're Christ's and that no matter what happens, that will not change. We run to his gifts. We receive his gifts with joy and thanksgiving. And we know that he will sustain us today and tomorrow and all the days in the future. The season of Advent is for preparing. Preparing for the coming of Jesus. Yes, now for a few weeks we prepare to celebrate our Savior taking on flesh and blood and living in our world, just like we confess in the Creed. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. But we also prepare for Christ coming to us. Today, right here in his word preached into your ears, right here in the very body and blood of Jesus who is with us, with you, to strengthen your faith and to forgive your sins. Jesus, right here for you, every time to forgive us for every time the old Adam in us gossiped and looked the other way when our neighbor needed help and we were too busy. To forgive us for all of the time that we have not loved our neighbors because of our own biases. Our Savior comes to us to forgive us so that we may continue to love as we've been loved and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus comes to us today, right here in this place, to do for us what he came to do that first Advent when he came to the earth, to give you forgiveness. He comes to give you peace. He comes to give you hope. Jesus advents us right here today so that you're ready to celebrate Christmas, but more importantly, you're ready to meet him on that last day, and when your Savior looks you in the eye, there's no fear. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. There's peace and welcoming into the kingdom that he has already prepared for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.